We're talking about, in a way, consciousness, the cellular consciousness, if you will. And I want to head off in a direction for a second, Doctor. There are some, let me first ask you, how do you define, or would you attempt to define consciousness? What is consciousness?
Well, it's an emergent property in the sense that every cell has is sentient. It's very, very much observing its world. But when you put the 50 trillion together, there's an energy of an awareness among all 50 trillion cells. They're all like listening to the same station. And as a result, they're all this energy of awareness is circulating through the system. There's more to it as well, though, because there's an identity factor that comes in that distinguishes each human from being a separate, you know, for being a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in the sense that if I try to take my cells and put it into you, Art, your immune system is going to say these aren't mine. And the question is, well, who's or who, and how do you know whose is? And the answer is that on the surface of the cell, this membrane we talked about, there are a set of antennas. And these are receptors, and in fact, a community of them are called self-receptors, receivers of self. And the significance about that is that each of us is a unique identity as distinguished by these protein antennas. If I take my antennas off my cell, my cells are generic. If I can implant them into any human, they won't be rejected. If I take my antennas off and put yours on myself, I would reject that cell if it was put back in my own body. You would accept that cell as yours. And so the point is you can transfer the ownership by attaching, you know, your personal set of antennas on them. Well, the interesting part about that is that the signal isn't from the antennas. The antennas are downloading a signal. And so this is the thing that freaked me out because I didn't believe in spirituality until I realized that my identity is an environmental signal that comes through these antennas. If the antennas are on my cell, then the cell will respond to me. If I take the antennas off, then the cell is generic and will not have that same response. I put yours on, they respond to your signal. And it, when I realized it, it's sort of like a PIN code to get into the operation of the cell, that this is an outside identity. And when I realized that, I mean, the first moment was, oh my gosh, my identity is playing through this cell. And what really hit me at the first moment of this instant of this epiphany was, yeah, but if the cell dies, did the identity die in the, you know, the broadcast, so to speak?
Boy, that's a big question. It's out there in the field. All right.
But this is where it plays in for people out there that will catch it, is that we now recognize that when people start to receive big grafts of organs and tissues from other people,
yes,
like heart and lungs, they also begin to acquire the character of those people.
That's quite true.
And and people say, well, it's cellular memory, but I'll tell you, after working with cells for, you know, the last 40 years, the cells don't have that kind of memory processing where they can tell chicken McNuggets and beer from anything else. The reality is that the people who donated the organ, their identity is still playing through it.
Apparently.
Yes, and so in a sense, I mean, Pearsall's book on Change of Heart was interesting because he talked about a whole number of these, even to the extent that a young girl or woman, I forgot what age it was, received a heart from a younger girl that got shot, killed. And when she acquired this, she was later able to lead the police to the murderer.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you have to say, where's this information coming from?
Yes.
And this is what just shocked me because I realized it's a broadcast. We're made in the image of the field, in a biblical sense. We're made in the image of this broadcast. And if I take your set of receptors and put it on a completely different, like an embryo just coming into the world, you'd be playing back again.
All right, Doctor, has there ever been any measurement, I'm trying to think of how to ask you this, indicating that there's something emanating from us that can be measured, or is it occurring in a way that it's going to ultimately not be measurable until we have some sort of quantum receiver or something? What I'm getting at, I guess, here, let me lay it out for you. Have you been following the studies at Princeton?
About the field effect?
about the well, the Human Consciousness Project, it's called.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're good. You have been following that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they have these graphs, and they're watching these eggs all over the world, geographically spread out. Eggs meaning computers spitting out random numbers. Suddenly they get non-random, and some giant event happens. I mean, 30 minutes before the Twin Towers are hit, kaboom, it goes 4 hours, in fact, goes off the charts, and it's happened with all these events. It's as though there's some sort of mass consciousness broadcast going on. And they found, albeit perhaps at this stage a rather crude way, but a way to detect this.
And this is an important part of our evolution that we haven't caught on to, is because we keep looking at ourselves as these independent units.
Yes.
And we actually are cells in a larger organism called humanity. We are individual collective units in that organism. And our lesson, of course, is that we think that there are nations that separate, you know, one person from another person. The reality is the lessons, when we get them, recognize there is one living thing on this planet called humanity. And that is the equivalent of that central voice that I was talking about. When cells come together in a community, they're controlled by this central voice. And the cells of humans on the community of humanity have the same thing. One of the interesting ones that I really like the most is a year after 9-1-1, exactly 1 year later, the anniversary, New York City, it's 2002 on September 11th, and of course everyone is thinking, it's like 1 year, of course everything was playing over this whole thing, this 9-1-1.
That's right.
And the lottery that night in New York was, the winner was 9-1-1.
That's a fact.
That is a fact, and it's interesting because it's like this isn't really a lot of coincidence. There's a part where we are involved with creating mass events through what we perceive.